just his.
No niin, hyvä. Se voi olla, että sieltä tulee vielä. Okay. Good morning. Good morning. How are you this morning? All good? Good? Good. Okay. Few more coming. Welcome. So my name is Kaisa Pekkala and I will give this lecture to you. Very much welcome. Is there someone who is here for the first time? Okay, few. Okay, welcome. A few practicalities before we start. A few practical things. So you have this presentation available in your Moodle. So if you are willing to access the presentation, that's there already. So if there is a small font, we realized last time that the room is so big and some of the slides are actually, the print is so small, so it might be difficult to see the back rows. So if you have your computers with you and you have access to Moodle, you can access the presentation as well. Then a few more things about the Moodle. So we have added the dictionary, so English-Finnish dictionary, which we have made with Matias for this course. So as the book is in English, the lectures are in English, but the exam you can decide, you can do it in Finnish or in English. So we have added the dictionary when you are reading the book, for example, so that might be helpful. Other thing as well, so we have those two of those bonus exercises. So Matias is currently preparing the second bonus exercise, which will be added to the Moodle on Thursday, so this Thursday. The first one is there already, and the deadline was 6th of October. So you still have plenty of time, but you can go there and take a look if you are willing to kind of do the bonus exercises that might have impact on your grade. Okay, but before we start, we have 2 hours now. It's all me, the whole 2 hours or 2:45. Maybe a little bit voting to wake you up. Would you like to have a short break in between those two parts, or would you like to have just the whole thing together? Raise your hands who would like to have a short break. Okay, really clear. So we will have a short, very short stretching, maybe minute two, but then we will keep it all together, so then you can leave a little bit earlier. I think I noticed last time that some people were really hungry, so most of you are still growing, so you need a good lunch break, so we will reserve some time for that. Okay, today's topic is about communication strategy and planning. And this is very, I would say this is the core of the corporate communications work. But also, if you are not heading to the corporate communication or communications management positions, you will benefit definitely from this content. So whichever career path you decide to go, if you are in finance, if you are in HR, or if you are in marketing, in sales, you will definitely benefit the skills in communications strategy and planning. It makes a huge difference if a person understands the power of communication and is able to communicate well, of course, but then also able to plan and do the strategy work. And let's keep this interactive so you can anytime interrupt, ask questions. I will have short breaks here in between. I also have a few cases, few videos here. You can maybe look at them later on after the lecture. But there is some good stuff here. Welcome. Some free seats in the front, also some back there. Okay, but today we will have a short introduction about corporate communication in organizational context. What does that mean? Then we will discuss a little bit about reputation. basis, why this is so important. And then we continue with communication strategy and planning work. We will have some practical examples there. And then lastly, we will discuss about the change communications and management communication. And hopefully, we will have time for discussion and questions in the end as well. But any questions at this point? I think Matthias is going to leave very soon. So if you have some questions about Moodle or any practicalities. Yes, one question there.
Mä nyt englanniksi keskittyen heti, mutta kun olin tehnyt sen ensimmäisen harjoitustehtävän, pitikö se laittaa sähköposti sulle?
So the question was if you have answered to the to the bonus exercise number one, should you send me an email? Not yet. When you have answered to both bonus exercises, part one and part two, that will be opened on Thursday, then send me an email. So this is the answer for your question.
Yeah, good question. Thank you, Matthias. Yeah. Any other questions at this point? No? All clear? Okay, let's start. So, thank you, Matthias. See you later. Okay, so when we are discussing about the corporate communication, I think this is a little bit repetition from the past lectures, but this is a management framework. So communications, can you hear me? Yes, you can. So corporate communication is the management function that offers a framework for the effective coordination of all internal and external communication, with the overall purpose of establishing and maintaining favorable reputations with all stakeholders which the organization is dependent. So when we are talking about corporate communication, we mean a management framework. So that makes a difference if we compare corporate communication to the communication, for example, discipline, which we have here at the University of Jyväskylä. Corporate, a little bit, I will also tell you a little bit about the corporate as a collective entity. So I think it's quite important to understand the roots, why we are talking about corporate communication, why not organizational communication, why not public relations. So Latin word corpus refers to the word body, and corporare refers to word forming a body. So this corporate refers to collective entity united in the one body. So what I mean with this is that corporate communication has a really integrative approach. So we look the organization as a whole, and we look the different communicative actions, different communications that the organization is ongoing in an organization internally and externally. And so if we compare this to the previous models, for example, 30 years ago, we could see that public relation was a really specific area. We talked about marketing and public relations, internal communications as well, but they were managed quite separately. So all of them had their own functions, their own targets, their own management, but it was not kind of managed in an integrated way. And there has been some events in environment, and then also in a communicative environment, but also in market environment, that have been driving this integrated approach, so corporate communication. This is actually from your book. So some of the market and environment-based drivers that Corneliussen mentioned, stakeholder roles overlap. So the same person can be customer, the same person can be employee, the same person can be influencer, the same person can be representing NGOs, for example. So stakeholder roles are currently overlapping. Blurring boundaries of internal and external communication, that we discussed last time when we discussed about the employee communication, that's the increased transparency. And also the way that kind of private and professional lives are mixing currently. So everything that's internal can be expected to become external as well. Demands for greater transparency, so expectations, stakeholders' expectations for transparency have been increasing. And that's why it's really beneficial to manage communications in an integrated way, to be able actually to provide the transparent information and to be able to respond to those demands. Communication-based drivers, so there is increased amount of message clutter, and that's increasing all the time. It's really difficult to get the messages through. You need to do something really well. You really need to have a good message, good consistent repeating message to get it through. You need to do something something that makes an impact experience. And it's kind of more, if the integrated approach provides a better base for that. Increased message effectiveness through consistency links to the first bullet here. And then complementary of media and media cost inflation. So, of course, medias complement each other. It's not that expensive to do something today than it was, for example, previously when it was mainly paid media. You really need to pay for the visibility. But nowadays, kind of a multi-channel approach and understanding using the benefits of each individual channel are really good way to do the integration. Organizational drivers, improved efficiency. So there has been the ideal of efficiency in many organizations in the past years. There is continuous development. We try to do things so that we do things as efficiently as possible. And the same applies for communications management. So integrated approach is a very, in that sense, more efficient way of doing communication than just separate management functions. Increased accountability. Before, for example, public relations function, it was quite it was quite limited what they did. It was sending press releases, meeting with media. But today it can be everything in between managing and consulting media relations, external communications, internal communications, change communications, and so on. So really the responsibilities of communications has been, communication function and communication management has been increasing and widening. Provision of strategic direction and purpose through consolidation. So also communication is the key strategic function when we are implementing corporate strategy. And that requires integrated approach. If marketing and external communications are, for example, speaking different language, or if internal communication is speaking different language than external communication, it's not good for the strategic strategic purpose. And commonalities and overlap between communication disciplines. So that's something that marketing, many external communication supports marketing. I think we have been using. I will show you some practical examples, but some companies are not anymore speaking about external communications. It's corporate communication function which includes different streams. But we will go through that. But that's kind of drivers for this integrated approach. So when we are talking about corporate communication, we talk about integrated management function. And these are the areas that belong to corporate communication. So some of the areas are maybe kind of more dominant under the corporate communication in a kind of contemporary organizations. Some of them are more marginal, but all of these areas belong under corporate communication umbrella. And there is one practical example. This is from Siemens. This is also in Corneliessen's book. This is their organization, so their corporate communications organization chart. And often, I think I can kind of go through how this works in many organizations. It looks very different in many organizations, but there are some similarities. So often the director of corporate communication is in the executive board, so he or she is in the management team. There are some sub-teams, of course, depending on the size of the company, size of the corporation, or size of the organization. In Siemens' case, they do have quite a bit marketing function. They do have employee comms, meaning internal comms. They do have specific person responsible for media relations, corporate responsibility, and then they do also have this corporate message team. And this is quite, I would say that this is quite common nowadays, that we do have this, we call them content hubs. And these are kind of news teams or editorial teams inside the corporate communications team. So they produce content.
What is the main task for this kind of a team?
So they produce content. They do a lot of writing. They are like editors, internal editors.
Okay, so yeah. Are they like translators, translating the internal messages to external?
Yeah, both ways, but then also external messages to internal audiences. So both ways.
You know, the internal messages are too difficult for public
to
understand, so you have to translate for external.
Yeah. It's writing a lot of stories, producing content to all kind of channels. So it's really multi-channel approach. Many of the people are doing videos, they are writing.
Are they concentrated on like social media?
Some of them can be. In addition to this corporate message or content hub, there can be a social media team, which is then again kind of they produce content in a similar way. They utilize kind of the content hub team can produce kind of the content in a bigger amounts, but then the social media team takes the content and then modifies it so that it works in social media channels. But they are also listening to audiences and responding and doing the dialogue work. So they are there all the time.
Do they do like different kind of messages to the selection of audience?
Yeah, it really. Yeah.
For certain groups.
Yeah. We will go to that because that's really important part. And that's something I will go it through in the communications planning part because yes, they will do it. And that's part of the kind of the strategic planning that you identify the key stakeholders and what's the focus area. So what are their priorities when they are producing content? But we will go through that. But that was a good question. So that's how it works. Then we have some additional functions, administration, personal development, and so on. But this is one of the examples. There are many as many organizational structures as there are companies and organizations. But I hope that this kind of a little bit opens up what's included to the corporate communication function. Okay. Maybe a little bit backwards. So how corporate communications then enables organizational success? Then Ansgar Serfas, they are scholars who have been writing a lot about the organizational strategic communications recently. And they kind of look at this from two perspectives. So outbound communication and inbound communications. So what's really going outside, what's really supporting the organization in external environment, and then what's supporting the organization in internal contexts. And as you can see, corporate communication plays significant role in many key processes. So it's really integrated in all the other departments' works as well. And maybe I would underline this builds immaterial assets. That's the key core of corporate communication function. Okay, but that was just an introduction. Let's move on. So moving to the reputation. So reputation is kind of today everyone talks about reputation. There is even talking that we live in a reputation society. And what matters is the reputation, not what you actually do, but how you do it. And it plays a significant role. I will talk a little bit more about the importance in the third part here. But how we can see reputation, it's awareness. So it's awareness about what the company does and how it does it. It's an assessment how it does it, and then asset for the company, for the organization. I will discuss a little bit about the key definitions related to the reputation, so it's easier to understand what we mean with reputation. So Vilma went this through in the introductory lecture, the first lecture, but this is a little bit repetition, but really important to understand before we go to the strategic planning. So when I think all of you have heard the identity, corporate identity. So what's the definition of identity? The profile and values communicated by an organization. These all are from your exam book. So there is a lot of different definitions. Let's use these here. But identity is really what the corporation is and how that communicates. I will show you an example of that. Image, again, it's an immediate set of association of an individual in response to one or more signals or messages from or about a particular organization at a single point of time. So image is something that there is a stakeholder, any stakeholder who actually has a touch point with the organization, and then the image perception is created. Okay, reputation. Let's go a little bit more deeper. So what's then reputation? Reputation is the individual's collective representation of past images of an organization established over time. And it can be through communications or through past experiences. So all touch points that the stakeholder has with the corporation, the information, experiences that the stakeholder has forms the reputation. It's really difficult to build and construct because it's a perception, but the elements of the reputation can be managed. So often in the literature or in the practice, we talk about reputation management. But when the reputation is a perception, it's difficult to manage as such, but there are a lot of elements that contribute to that. So let's discuss more about the identity, because this is important. So what's identity? This is one model of how identity forms. So it's about the behavioral, so how individual members of that specific organizations, how they behave, what they do. It's about the communication, how the organization and how organization's members communicate, and what type of symbols the organization uses. And all of these form corporate personality or identity. So this is the package. It's the core. What's the organization is all about, and how does it do? It's very difficult to change these things, especially the behavioral and communication. It's not easy task to do it fast. You can do it, but they are very kind of connected to the corporate culture as well. Symbolism, more easy, but it takes time as well. Yeah?
Can you explain a little bit about symbolism?
So symbolism...
I mean, it's like logos.
Yeah, symbols can be logos. It can be the signs the company is using. It can be how it can be the fonts. Everything visual that the company sends. It can be symbols. Can be that, and then also I would say maybe that. What medias the communication is using in a sense.
That, for example, Coca-Cola company would change the logo.
They have kind of done it. They have done some modifications for that. Not that good success. So I would say that. It really depends on the situation. So what's their it's difficult to say that no or yes to this type of question, but I would say that it would be a really big thing if they would need to face some challenges or some really difficult times, because there needs to be a really good reason to change the symbol.
I visited in Coca-Cola Museum in Atlanta.
Okay.
And they have tried many, many times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Change the logo.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I say. So they have tried to do it, but the feedback has been, or the customers have not been, or they have been quite disappointed, because some people really love the logos and really the visual way of communicating is quite important as well. Okay, so then more about the reputation. So Vilma, our professor, has said that trust will transfer into reputation when present becomes past. So I think this Vilma's picture is pretty good about how the reputation is formed. So stakeholders do have experiences. They have had past experiences about the organization. They hear a lot about what other people talk about the organization. Then based on those, they have expectations. They have trust towards the organization. But in the present states, they assess the past and the present, and they form the reputation about the company. So there are many elements that have that affect on reputation, in a sense that it can be communication, but it can be also experiences. So, for example, in Coca-Cola case, so if you have been visiting Coca-Cola visitor center, so what was your experiences? Did that kind of increase your positive mindset towards Coca-Cola or not? And then. It can be also other things what people discuss about the Coca-Cola brand in general. Based on those, you and the collective group here defines that what's your reputation currently. And it can be. I will jump a little bit further here, but it's something that building a reputation takes a long time. But it's very easy to kind of change or ruin the reputation, but I will discuss about that when we go to the importance part. So, what are the benefits of strategic image construction? Because image can be in a way constructed, and reputation as well. The elements that contribute to the reputation can be. Can be managed, but reputation as such not. But what are the benefits? So distinctiveness. So organizations they gain character that distinguishes themselves from other organizations and other companies as well. Stakeholders trust to companies with strong reputation, and stakeholders they do share goodwill with those companies that have strong reputations. So Matthias was talking to you about the legitimacy. That's the license to operate. So companies with good reputation, their license to operate is not questioned that much, that those companies whose reputation is not that good. So that applies especially in case of crisis situation. So how the dynamics of these different areas, how that works. So Hatch and Schuch, they have been studying reputation a lot, and they have drawn this type of picture which shows what elements need to be aligned so that the reputation has a kind of positive circle of influence. And if we start with the vision culture gap, so the vision set by the company's top management need to be aligned with the corporate culture. So employees need to buy this vision. And if that's not aligned, it's really difficult to get the vision or get the organization work towards that common vision. Then image culture gap means that the image that the stakeholders have needs to be aligned with the corporate culture. So, for example, in some cases, if the image that stakeholders have is totally different than the corporate culture, employees are not able to deliver. They are not able to answer those expectations that stakeholders have. And then finally, this image vision gap between stakeholders and managers means that if the vision is not aligned with the image and stakeholder demands, the organization has failed to listen its stakeholders. So vision is not serving the stakeholders. So this is the idea behind this, and I think this is pretty good. Maybe vision, vision and managers nowadays, it could be in a sense influencers or employees in a sense, because vision is quite inclusive process in an organization. Last lecture we discussed about the culture of sharing. So employees are also part of defining vision. So that's the only thing that I'm a little bit questioning there. But this is in your book, so remember this. Important stuff. So importance of reputation for organizations. Some facts here, or some numbers. On average, it has been said that 25% of companies' market value is directly attributable to its reputation. This is from World Economic Forum 2012. Deloitte has been, they have been publishing this type of reputation risk survey yearly. I think they do not do that or have not done that in the recent years, but previously they were doing that every year. And in their study, they found that reputation damage is number one risk among all executives globally. So, and I think that this is really the case because nowadays executives, they do understand the power of reputation, and they are really sensitive. Communication, that's why communication is increasing its importance as a management function, because the reputation and reputation society is making the management part so important. And I think this is something, the last bullet is something I already mentioned, but good reputation protects the organization. So we live in very turbulent times. There are a lot of things happening, possible crises almost everywhere. So we live in a very turbulent times. And this license of operate is not questioned with those companies that who have a strong positive reputation. Then we have this Warren Buffett. This is always something that I think I often use, but he has been a really successful investor, and these are few quotes from Warren Buffett. Here he says that it takes 20 years to build a reputation and 5 minutes to ruin it. If you think about that, you do things differently. And that's a very, I would say, a management principle that you can see quite often. Lose money for the firm and I will understand. Lose the shred of reputation for the firm and I will be ruthless. He also here talks about the trust. The greatest institutions select very trustworthy people and they trust them a lot. And I think this last time, I added this here because last time we discussed about how to manage organizations when employees are the most influential kind of communicators. So the key is trust. So there is not much to do, but build the corporate culture so that it supports trust and then deliver that. There has been some criticisms to these previously because for example, in Finland, there has been a little bit discussion that companies are too careful. So when this Warren Buffett quote has been shown and really some company leaders are really careful what to do. And now, for example, when social media is here, it requires totally different approach. And people need to be, or companies need to be proactive. Increase transparency. But I think this is not so black and white. So reputation is a really important asset that needs to be understood. But at the same time, you need to learn, you need to do things, and you need to experience. So that's not contradictory. Yeah, exactly. And transparency is the key thing nowadays because it's the way to do things at the moment. But we will discuss about that as well. So maybe one thing that I would also like to point out here, there is a lot of discussion at the moment about the online reputation. This is something that also scholars and academics are researching at the moment a lot. There is one link, if you would like to read more about online reputation and studies, there is one quite nice study made by Harvard Business School, Michael Luca, and he had, for example, he has been studying Yelp online platform and how the recommendations there increase the company's revenue. And he, for example, found that this 1-star increase leads to a 5-9% increase in revenue. So this is an important area, and it's important at the moment because the online and the communications in the online environment differs a lot. And really, what's reputation in an online context needs more studies at the moment. And what's the impact, how the dynamics work. But just to mention this as an emerging area at the moment. If you are interested to learn more about the reputation and studies in Finland, one of them is this Maine-tutkimus reputation study, Arvopaperi, and Burson Marsteller, that's kind of communications agency. They have done it, I think, over 10 years or so. That's the latest press releases from that study. They actually do that study based on 6 different kind of factors that they compare in different companies. So, and Kone has been there number one like 10 years, so it has been quite stable in that sense. Okay, but that's about reputation as a background for the communication strategy and planning. Any questions about reputations or reputation society? What kind of thoughts that raises? Identity, image. All clear. Looks good. And you can follow the links and go to the cases later on. Okay. Then to the main topic of today, so communications strategy and planning. And first of all, we will focus on communication strategy and how that links to the corporate strategy. We will have some cases there, and then we will go to the communication programs and planning. And what's communication strategy? So it sets the direction and describes the activities that are undertaken by communication partners. So that's the Corneliusson's definition. And I think this strategy description is quite good, but nowadays also employees are very active in implementing the communication strategy. But I have added it here as well. So key definitions. Many of you have maybe been in the management course already, so some of these might be familiar to you. These are kind of general definitions from Corneliusson's book, but used in many other disciplines as well. So mission, that's the purpose. So that's purpose. Why? Why we are doing this? Vision is the desired future state, where we want to be. Where we want to be with this. And strategy, it can be the ways or means in which the corporate objectives are to be achieved and put into effect. So strategy is kind of, it's like a process in a way. It's objective, but it's process as well. And these are the key definitions, good to remember.
Mm-hmm. Should it be related to some kind of a timeline? Desired future state in 10 years, 20 years, or what?
Yeah, that vision is, it's like a, vision is something that it's often not defined that, to that timeline. So then we have, we can call them strategic objectives or, and I will show you here example of the roadmap. So roadmap then shows like what are the milestones, how we will hopefully reach our vision and what are the milestones. But of course with vision you can have, but often it's not, it's quite general. It's like a paradise island which we are targeting. So it's really, the aim of the vision is to create a mindset that this is where we all together here are aiming to. And then with the strategy, we set the timeline, that with these actions and with this timeline, we will get to that. And then we have the roadmap. I will have some examples here. I will show you. I understand I didn't answer the question properly, but it's coming here. So what's then strategy? So these are actually from Mintzberg, who has been kind of a big name in a strategy management literature. So Corneliusson is also referring to these. But strategy formation consists of combination of planned and emergent processes. So in a way, strategy is always very much about organization and its environment. So in strategy work, we understand that environment is in change. The context is all the time in change. So it needs to be adaptive. Strategy involves a general direction and not simply plans or tactics. And I would say how I see when we discuss about the communication strategy, it shows the direction. It's the way to communicate that what are we doing? Where are we aiming? And how? But these are the basic kind of basic principles of strategy formation. So what's the relation between corporate strategy and communication strategy? So communication strategy is translating the corporate strategy. So I think someone here asked that it's kind of sense making. What we are aiming to. And what does it mean for me as an employee, or what does it mean for me as an organization's member? At the same time, communication strategy, there is a feedback loop here. So communication strategy is also informing corporate strategy. What's really important in communications management, it's often called, it's the boundary spanning task or function, but in corporate communication, you learn a lot, or you have a lot of insight about stakeholders and the environment. So working in a communications management, you actually know very much about the operational environment, stakeholders, and also competitors. So you are also informing to the corporate strategy process that where is our reputation and what's the gap between the vision. And that's the task for the communications leaders and managers in a corporate strategy process. And often, corporate strategy and communication strategy are done in a high level. They are quite linked together. I will show you some examples from my experience. So I told last time that I have been working in KONE for the past 8 years, and their corporate strategy is communicated with this type of holistic picture. It has been called strategy picture, holistic picture. And it has been communicated to the whole organization with this one picture. Of course, there are plenty of other materials and interactive tools and rollout plans. But this is the core. So here are the key messages. Here are the mega trends. So what things are impacting to the organization? What external mega trends are impacting to it? What's the mission? What's the purpose for the organization? What's the vision? Where does the company, why it is doing this? Then there are some strategic targets. So what are the targets which are followed, where we have clear KPIs? So what are followed? Each year, each quarter. And then there are some, this winning with customers, there are some key focus areas. And these key focus areas are updated every 3 years. So those are the areas that also guide the communications planning and communication strategy work. So this is something that we will focus. These are the priorities for the whole organization. But they also guide other functions. No, not only communication, but finance, HR, sales, every single function. Now this is quite small. I will try to do this because I learned that, no, this doesn't work now. Okay, but hopefully you can see you have the Moodle. But then also in the bottom, there are some fundamental things for the corporate operations. So there are two key focus areas, or two kind of fundament areas, safety and quality, which are kind of fundaments for all the operations, and then corporate values. And this is the corporate strategy. And this shows, I think, this is a nice linkage to forming a communication strategy and how these two actually work together. So, for example, the previous HR director or the head of HR in KONE has said that it's quite nice that they do not have to form a very specific HR strategy because it's here. So it applies to everyone. And KONE having 50,000 employees in all of those different geographical areas, as we saw last time, all those different stakeholders, having a unified vision and mission, it's really important to be able to direct the work of all the people to the same target. I have added here two links. Both of them are interviews of Matti Alahuhta, the previous CEO. I couldn't find any more recent videos. Unfortunately, this first one is only in Finnish. So that's the good one. I would really recommend if you have 15 minutes time to look at that, because there Matti tells about this picture, the previous version of that, and how that's used to engage employees. And he actually talks quite a lot about the communication, internal communication, rolling out the corporate strategy. Then there is this interview at Slush 2014, that's in English. I could maybe add here the minutes that when he talks about corporate culture, this picture and the employee engagement, because he also talks some other things there as well. So it's quite a long interview, but I could maybe add the specific part. So that's all of you who are not able to follow the Finnish one. But corporate strategy, communication strategy, they walk hand in hand. And without communication, it's really difficult to implement the corporate strategy. So communication is actually the only one and only tool to implement the strategy and make it real. Okay, that's about the linkage of corporate strategy and communication strategy. And maybe few hints here for those who are aiming to the corporate communication management. I think the planning always starts with the business objectives and understanding the stakeholders. And the better you know the business, the better you understand the business requirements and how the business dynamics works, the better you are actually doing here. So they are really, really integrated. And it's also really important to select a field where you want to work, that you really have passion for that field and you really feel that this business interests me, because then you have the kind of authentic interest towards that business. Good. But that's a really, really nice example. So if you have time, take a look of that video.
What do you think about Mr. Trump's organization?
And the communications department.
How they have succeed to put these two things together?
Not that well, I would say. Yeah. Yeah. And it's really interesting to see how the new communications head will actually, there are many other reasons than kind of professionalism, I would say, that why she was so really loyal person, but let's see how it will end up. But it has been quite interesting to follow. Quite interesting to follow for all of us, and let's see what will happen. Okay. So then we have also here other cases, which I actually added here because these are in English. So if some of you are only able to view the English ones. So these cases are kind of examples of how the corporate mission is integrated to the corporate strategy work. I don't know if any one of you has been watching this Mark Zuckerberg communicating the Facebook's 10-year roadmap, which he did in April 12, 2016. So he starts the whole set introducing the company's mission and what the company stands for, and then explaining the roadmap, and I think he does it quite well. The most recent example is this Apple event, where they opened the Steve Jobs Theater and launched the new iPhone X. So that's also available. I think it's in Apple.com site. But it also shows the corporate mission and the power of narratives and storytelling. So good case as well. Linking the corporate strategy mission to the communications. And here I think we already went this through, but it's really multifaceted how the communications works in an organization and how it contributes to the organization's success. But I think we went this through already. Okay. Hey, maybe a very short break, 1 minute before we go to the planning. So if you want to stretch, just a few minutes, raise your hands and stretch. Just let's do not go anywhere, but if you want to stand up and just raise your hands and stretch a little bit, then we continue. But don't leave. Okay. Okay, some stretching. Everyone stand up. Just raise your hands and stretch one more time, and then we can continue. And don't break your back. Be careful. Yeah, be careful. Okay, so now starts the interesting part. Let's continue. So now we will discuss about... Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so let's continue. Hope you had some blood circulating when you were standing up. Okay, so let's continue. Let's continue with the communications planning and executing communication program. So now we move to the communication, strategy communication planning part. I will introduce, or Corneliusen has been using this seven-step process, defining a strategic intent, defining communication objectives, identifying, prioritizing target audiences, identifying team messages, developing message style, developing a media strategy, and preparing the budget. And I will introduce two of these in detail, and then we will discuss about the other five in a kind of package. And I will have some comments to that as well. But strategic intent. So that's kind of the strategic aim. So what are we aiming to achieve? And of course, that kind of draws from the corporate strategy, but then also from an assessment. So from this reputation vision gap. So what's the current reputation that needs to be studied and surveyed? And then what's the vision, where the company wants to go? And what's the difference? So what are the areas, what are the elements that do not support the organization to achieve its vision? So the assessment of that forms a basis for strategic intent. And strategic intent also sets direction. So these are the things that we need to focus. These are the priorities. And yes, welcome. After the strategic intent is so for example, if the company, let's take example still about the strategic intent. So for example, if the company's vision is to be the most innovative company in the Europe among its industry. But then the reputation is not that. People really think that this phone or this gadget, it's not really innovative. It's something that, you know, you can buy in any store and anyone could do it. So strategic intent defines that what we need to do to actually be the most innovative company in Europe. So that's a really simple example. But that's how we form it. How we form the strategic intent. So the next step is that, okay, then this is what we want to do. We want to be the most innovative company. We really believe that that will actually increase our profitability and our performance. So what we need to do? So then we send the communication objectives. What are the things that we actually need to be doing in communications that we can achieve? And of course, other things. So all of these kind of bigger strategies, there needs to be kind of very good cooperation with other departments as well. So before we go to objectives, I would like to highlight that without good HR support, training, product development and so on, so it's not possible. So communications cannot do anything alone, but it's then also cooperating with other departments. Then defining the communications objectives. So often very kind of used model is this SMART. So objectives need to be specific. They need to be measurable. So there needs to be a way to measure how we are doing. They need to be actionable. They need to be realistic. So it's possible actually to achieve it. People are not engaged if they think that the objectives are kind of unrealistic, or the timeline is too short, or they do not have enough resources. And timely as well. So this forms the basic for communications objectives. I will show you kind of how this all comes together in the end. The other three, identifying and prioritizing target audiences. So there was question about the target audiences or stakeholders in the beginning. This is really important part because almost every organization has limited resources to use. So you cannot really actively you cannot create communications to every single stakeholders, even though you would be willing to, but it's not possible because of the resources. So you need to really prioritize which are the stakeholders that you really would like to communicate with and have influence. And of course, you need to be prepared to communicate with everyone, but maybe then more responsively. Matthias introduced in the last lecture this salience model in the stakeholder management, so how you can actually define which are the most important stakeholders for this specific case. So for example, if we would like to be a most innovative company, what are those stakeholders that we would like to communicate the most? Which stakeholders would start to spread the word that actually this gadget is now really cool, this is really innovative, we think that these functionalities, these features make a big difference compared to the competitors' ones. Identifying themed messages, so then starts the big work defining that what's really the key message, what we want actually people remember about this, what we want people to talk about. Themed messages, there can be several, but often there is one core message, and that kind of provides a direction again in a little bit lower level, and then there are specific messages to the specific target groups as well. And often stories as well. So narratives using there as well. Then developing message style, there the often used term is framing. And framing comes from that you actually put frames to the story. So what's the context? How you tell about things? I think we can experience that in personal life. So if you tell a story, and if you tell a story, you tell the same story, but because of your different personal backgrounds or your experiences, you might tell the story totally differently. So the same applies in a corporate environment. So you can actually frame the story so that and that's one way of making it interesting to the specific target groups. Then developing a media strategy. So they often, nowadays we discuss about reach. So what's the kind of the target? What's the target group that we want to reach? Do we want to reach only thought leaders at this point with these messages, or do we want to make this public? We want everyone, every single consumer to discuss about this. What's the reach? What's the coverage? The kind of the same. So how many people, how many people we want actually to know about this? Creative match, that's kind of goes or is linked to that media is also a message in a way. So if we are talking about some really formal thing. So how does it work in social media environment? Or for example, if it's something really important targeted to the scientists or some political influencers, so social media might not be the place to go. Very simple examples. And then also interactivity. So if you want people to start discussing, if you want some of these messages or stories go viral, so what are the ways how the media supports interactivity and potential for dialogue? And then preparing the budget. My comment, maybe this is something that I have not been in my 15 years career. I have not been in a project that there would be limitless budget. So I would maybe move that often there is some kind of yearly budget that you need to then align the project. So you have a scope. So this is something we can do, and that often kind of limits that all the wild creative ideas that we definitely will have that brainstorming, but really some of the things cost quite a lot. And if we compare budget, for example, like Apple or Facebook, what they are using for marketing, and if we compare Finnish corporations and the budget are in totally different planets. So budget, I would maybe have it somewhere there a little bit upper in this part, but maybe in this case it means also defining a budget for that specific communications plan. So what are we doing? How are we allocating the money between these different stakeholders? So what are we really trying to do? And the good thing about the social media and really the current communicative environment is that really the budgets are not that important anymore. So with really creative idea, with really good message, with really talented people, you can actually spread the message and you can have the same attention, the same visibility. Not maybe the same in all stakeholder groups, but with some stakeholder groups that really works. So that's really good thing. And then also global environment, so you can reach the people using Facebook or social media sites very easily around the globe. So it's not that expensive anymore. So this is about the roadmap. So then when we have the plan ready, so this is example, just a template. Template available publicly for communications roadmap. But here you can see this is what I have been using often. So heading a communications team, we kind of put all the projects to the roadmap. So we saw, for example, we had 1 year roadmap, or then we had 3 years roadmap. But we had kind of the key themes because we had a clear corporate strategy. So it was actually then quite easy to plan the communications further. So that's why the more clear and the corporate strategy, and the better the top management is committed to that strategy. So that's a really good situation if the company is committed to that specific strategy for the next 3 years. It gives you a freedom to plan the communications and do it really well. But if the strategy is something that it's not really defined and the management does not know where they want to go, and if they are changing the opinions every now and then, it makes things more difficult. But still, I would recommend doing this type of roadmap. So this is just an example, but here you can put some kind of key themes, key projects, key priorities, who is doing what, what's happening in the first quarter, what's happening the second, third, fourth. And this is also basis for measurement. So this is a nice tool to be used. But this, I would say that this is part of the strategy work. And this all should lead us towards the vision. But vision is often, it's a mindset. It's something that it should be like all of us should have some kind of vision about this course that you will get. 4 or 5 at least. And that's the vision that we all kind of share. Timeline goes to the more to the strategy part. Still have some more slides to go. One example also that I have been using. So in addition to the roadmaps, we have done some yearly clocks, because this is a really good planning tool. Sometimes it feels that things just happen. They just actually come and go, but not that many things. Or there are some things that actually stay. And this is example from internal communication. So this is actually some of the stuff that goes almost every year. So every year in stock-listed company, there is a full year results. There are some extra stuff related to that. People are doing their performance discussions. There are some employee engagement surveys, management meetings, global team meetings, internal magazines coming out 3 times a year. You can actually plan them already in advance. There are safety week, for example, could be a themed week that's done already, or that's known to be coming already in advance, and so on. So these are the things that are there during the year. And this is kind of additional thing to the roadmap, but can be used in a planning phase. Quite nice tool as well. Some examples, I think, because of the time constraints, we are not going to go the piece, but here are some examples. I think nice communication planning done, and you can see that they are all kind of multi-channel approaches. Different stakeholders have been taken into consideration. One of the projects is again from KONE, that's KONE safety safety campaign. Safety is one of the cornerstones, one of the fundaments in the company's operations, and it's really important to make all 50,000 employees to aware about the safe working environment and procedures and so on, and also users. So they do have a quite nice site available in the internet. And then a few other cases here as well related to Suomi Sata team, which are quite nice communications programs as well. Okay, a few more things to go, but this is really interesting. Change communication. So any questions about the communications planning before we move on here? No? All clear? Sounds good. Okay, so change communication. This is big part, or this is big part of communicators' daily work, because we live in an organizations which are in constant change. So this is happening all the time. But there are some important things to remember when planning change communications. So all changes affect employees in one way or another, and their successful implementation often crucially depends on communication. So communication is the key thing, key success factor in running good change management programs. So John Kotter is a scholar from Harvard Business School who has been studying a lot about change management, and he has said that 70% of all organizational change efforts fail. That's quite a lot. And the reason is that executives do not get enough buy-in from enough people for their initiatives and ideas. And if you think about the change projects ongoing and 70% of them are not succeeding, this is a big issue, and communications can make a big difference. So if done properly, getting the buy-in and getting the change started, happening, and people committed to that can make a big difference to the corporate performance. This is change curve from individual point of view. This is one of the examples. There has been a lot of studies about this, but it's really important to understand how people behave when there is a change. So of course, depending on the kind of a type of change and how, what's the impact to that specific person. But often people go with this similar type of change curve. So there is shock at first, or what the heck, then denial, blame, then often comes self-doubt that am I really thinking like this, then letting go, I don't care, then people starting to solve problems, and then completion, so then really starting to see some results. Okay, this actually, this way, how we do it differently, or this change works. So why I was thinking like that previously? So then people, little by little, start to be more commitment or committed, and the change kind of gains commitment from the employees. So this is important to understand. And Kotter, this is the same model. It's just from Kotter's kind of homepage, but this is the same model that you have in your Corneliusen book. So this is how he sees the change management works, and what are the key cornerstones of managing this successfully. So the first point is to create a sense of urgency, and that means that people need to understand that why we are changing, and what's the reason. So they need to understand, so what will happen to me if I'm not involved in this? Or what will happen to you if you are not involved in this? Or what will happen to the world? Or what will happen to our organization? Then building a guiding coalition. So this means that this change needs to be in a way sold to the key influencers, key management people, key influencers, thought leaders. And then forming a strategic vision and initiatives. So what's the strategic intent? What's the current state? So what are we lacking? What's the gap and where we want to be? So then enlisting, enabling, really empowering people. So empowering them to work and really exemplify the change. Then generating short-term wins. So it's really important in the middle of the change, kind of and their communications plays a really important role. So all the milestones, even the small ones that have kind of contributed to the management, it's really important to communicate that we are actually making progress. So we are moving forward, and the thing is moving, because otherwise often people think that, okay, this change things, this just happened, but yeah, doesn't actually has any impact on me. But if you start to communicate very actively about the small milestones, small wins, let the committed people who have actually experienced the change talk and give them a voice, the change starts to happen. And then sustain acceleration, keeping it up, supporting, providing support. Instituting change, then we start to speak that this is normal, this is becoming new normal. So this is how we actually operate. This is the way we work here. Kotter here has put this, the big opportunity. That's not in your book, but he calls it the big opportunity. This is a last example I have. Soon will be lunch, don't worry. So this is integrated change management and communication approach template. So this is nicely actually showing that how the strategy work and change management work together. This is from Accenture. So this is available publicly in the internet. This is one of their guidance. It's available in the internet. But it shows again here the same process that input gathering, that's the first starting point. Understanding what's the current reputation, what's the current state of mind. Then developing strategy. In this case, it's change management strategy and communication strategy. It can be, I have worked very closely with finance, HR, sales, engineering, product development. We work as teams. Often, communications person heads the project team, and then there are project members from other parts of the organization. Then creating a detailed plan, including a roadmap, who does what we are doing and when. And then there is a feedback loop. So when the plan is executed, when the communication is ongoing, then there are several feedback loops. There is a lot of listening, a lot of responding, a lot of dialogue, how the messages resonate, how people actually start to interact, how people start to share the message, and so on. So that's an example of that. Any questions about this?
Maybe a comment.
Yes.
The feedback thing is, I think it is a key factor.
Yeah.
When we are talking about change in the organization.
Yeah.
Even in the small matters, in every level.
Yeah.
When we are talking employees, employers.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't work, and always I think that it's a kind of cooperation in a sense that really often when managing or when driving change, there is some kind of level of idea that this is based on the studies, this is what we want out, but actually the organization makes that happen, and always in change situations we learn something new during the process. And the feedback is the only way, actually, to implement and make that part of the process. So it plays a really important role. Okay, one more slide, then to the lunch. Okay, so one more thing about the effective leadership communication. I think this wants to go to lunch as well. Leadership communication plays a really important role in all communications programs. So, as I mentioned previously in the employee communication part, leadership communication sets the tone for internal communication, but in a similar way, it also sets the tone for external communication. So, really how the leaders, how approachable they are, how do they communicate with stakeholders? Three important things. Based on the studies, this is actually from the Corneliusen book as well. So good reminder for your course book. So first thing is authenticity. So the only way the leaders can actually be efficient communicators is that they are really authentic. They are true selves, and the passion shows true, so it's easy to see if the leader is committed or not. So whenever you become leaders in any of the functions that we have been discussing, either is a corporate communication or finance or HR or sales or product development, so you all are acting as leaders. And these skills are really key part of your work. Then, because your task is really to inspire people. Then narratives and stories. We discussed a little bit about how the narratives and stories are linked to the corporate strategy and how corporate strategy can be communicated through narratives and stories and what role they play in people's minds. So really, it's really important to be able to present the rationale for the change in change situation. And doing that in a way that people remember it. People remember stories. They do not remember bullet points. Conversational skills, so that's also important. Ability to create dialogue and really to have kind of how would I see it? So I think that this interpersonal communication skills, in a sense that people feel that they can communicate with you, but you also listen and take action through dialogue. And maybe one thing that I was just reading about this Elon Musk comment about when he has been commenting about the corporate communications and his views on kind of traditional way of running corporate communication. So he has really taken a really strong or stated some strong comments about leaders' role in ensuring the peer-to-peer communication. So that's also something that leadership communication plays really important role in change communications. But at the moment, leaders should empower employees to communicate with each other and really provide ways. And if there are, I think he often says that if there is a faster way of doing things peer-to-peer, that should be supported by leaders. And I think that's the way to do it. But that could be maybe added here as well. So at the same time, listening, but then promoting peer-to-peer as well. So leader is not the only contact point. Okay, you know what? We are ready. So any more questions, comments at this point? Good. Next lecture is about social media. So Matthias will give you the next lecture, and it's about social media. Okay, thank you. Joo, kiitoksia, kiitoksia. Hyviä kysymyksiä.
Joo, näitä siis videoituna näitä.
Joo, joo.